Hey guys, Fishing Kid here. Really quick before we get started on today's podcast, I just wanted to give you guys a heads up that Mom Pop Fishing and I have been working on a partnership with a company, I'd say, to help us improve what we do. I'm not going to go into any deep details or anything yet, but we plan on launching early 2021, January 2021. So it isn't too far away. It not only benefits us, it will also help you guys because it might lead to opportunities for, I don't know, let's say a giveaway. So make sure you follow us on social media to know what we've got in the works. I'll put links for all that stuff down below. Without further ado, let's talk ice fishing.
All right, let's get my beer ready. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Beer Fish Fanatics. This is Granny with Mop Pop Fishing. We have here
Kit with the Fishing Kit YouTube channel.
And we are about to have some beer from Carol Brewing again. So once again, like I said, I want to thank Bruno down there at Al Bait Shop at the Lucky Horse down there in Des Moines, Iowa. They actually are supporting us and donating some beer from Carol Brewing. So thank you also, Carol Brewing. I am today, I don't know if you can see, drinking the Carol Mild. So I'm gonna try this sucker out. And what are you drinking today, Kit?
Well, you know, I was talking about my IPAs, so I got the Carol IPA.
Nice.
7% alcohol.
Holy cow. So Kit's gonna be a little slurred speech, man. Nah, just kidding. But no, like I said though, if you guys haven't checked out Carol Brewing, definitely do it. It's amazing beer. We've had a couple of them already, and also check out Al Bait Shop, check out Lucky Horse, and I want to take Fishing Kit there when we get an opportunity when this COVID thing kind of goes down a little bit. I took my wife there, so great food, great atmosphere, great beer. Obviously, they have, you know, tons on tap. So, like I said, thank you so much, Bruno, on this one, and cheers, Fishing Kit.
Oh, check out my new mug, everybody.
Anybody who's listening to this on our podcast and anybody who's watching this on YouTube, obviously you can see we got some Beer Fish Fanatic mugs nowadays. So we're stepping up our game a little bit. Try not to look too, honestly, just drink out of a mug, because that's what Bruno said. He said drink beer out of craft beer out of a cup, right?
A mug or glass. We're less of a savage drinking out of cans.
There you go. And, you know, and but anyways, if you guys want to grab a mug, these we actually got two of them. One of them is a, I think it's like a 11 ounce coffee mug. And this one is a 15 or 16 ounce. I forgot. Just go to moppopfishing.com, scoop you guys up one, get a mug. Also, that will help support this show somewhat a little bit, because it'll give us some chump change to try and get more beer to drink and more fishing stuff, right?
Right on.
There you go, man. So this week it's getting pretty damn cold, and we got ice seasons around the corner. I don't know when this episode will air, but most likely ice is, if not here, it will be here pretty darn soon. Fishing Kid and myself want to talk a little bit about how you can start to get geared up for ice fishing, and the type of stuff you need to get if you're brand new to the sport. Even if you're, you know, been ice fishing for so long, I think you can always add some new gear, new safety equipment. So first things first, ice picks, definitely a must. I would say a spud bar, and what else, Kit? I would say actually a floating suit. That was probably one of the things that I didn't purchase at the very beginning that I wish I had. I think that's probably the biggest, best investment is ice suit. Number one, it keeps you warm, because the way they're designed nowadays, they're super warm. And I think it's just, was it ease that mind in case if you ever crack through the ice, you float, because these suckers are designed to float in the water. And especially if it's ice cold water, I just recommend that. Ice picks and spud bar. And what else, Kit? Would you recommend
cleats?
That's a must.
That without cleats, especially if there's no snow on the ice, you're not gonna have any traction. Like cleats, you know, I mean, I've slipped with cleats on. It can happen. There's actually in one of my videos.
Yeah. So why don't you do this on this episode, Kit? Why don't you post a link to that episode of him slipping? And I've had that happen. You slip when I actually even had one. I lost one of my cleats on one of my shoes, and I had one, you know, a shoe that didn't have it, and I slip on that. And you're spot on, man. It's like you slip. And sometimes when you slip, you don't literally fall on your butt. You fall on your butt and your head can hit the ice. And
yeah,
concussions can happen. It's very dangerous. And you're right. Cleats are a must because yeah. Not all the time you're going to have snow to help you with the traction. So I would say would you say that's about five of the most safety precaution things I would say?
A rope, like early and late ice.
I agree. Rope just in case. And
be able to throw that rope too, like tie it on to something.
Yeah. I think also another thing
is throw rope. I'm talking about.
And the other thing, fishing kit bringing that up is great, is that if you're going to go on first ice, I highly recommend don't go alone. Take somebody with you, because where the hell are you going to throw that throw rope to if nobody's with you? So it's one of those things I really do recommend not going alone. Check the ice, make sure. And this is the thing about first ice too. I mean, obviously it's strongest, but the thing is, some people say, oh, I'm cool with 3 inches of ice. I'm cool with 4 inches of ice. Go whatever you're comfortable with. I recommend at least 4 inches. Some people are okay with 3, but use that spud bar. And when you spud bar around. And it's one of those things where I've actually been on ice where it's 4 inches. And then I literally go about 5 feet and hit, and it just goes right through. So
yeah, last season was like that because we had that like cold and warm periods.
Yeah. It's man, I'm telling you, dude, it freaked me out, man. Cause I was like, dude, it's 4 inches, whatever. I drilled. And then I literally thank goodness I did. I went over there and it hit, and it was probably half an inch. So, and practice with your spud bar. The biggest thing I really recommend, when I say practice with your spud bar, every hit should take like, use the same amount of force on every hit that you can. Cause then you can determine if, I got to a point where if I hit one, I knew it was at least almost close to an inch per hit. So I hit one, two at the same spot 5 times, that's 5 inches. You know what I'm saying? So practice your spud bar and hit the same spot, and just know, you know, how hard you're hitting in regards to the force wise. So
yeah, actually try to break the ice. Don't use it as like a walking stick where you're just kind of just tapping it along lightly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 2 inches of ice, it ain't going to go through if you're just using like a walking stick, just tapping along the ice. But you're actually just going, like, driving that thing into the ice.
Yeah. So up here in Central Iowa, ice is, you know, like I said, it's around the corner. And just like I said, be careful, be safe. Let us know wherever you guys going to go ice fishing too, because maybe Fishing Kit and myself will join you guys. Number one, if the bite is hot, if you guys know something we don't know, let us know. But like I said, safety is always the best thing. We always hear on the news, you know, and that's the thing. We don't want to give ice fishing a bad rap. As long as you use best judgment, safety first. I mean, we all want to get on ice. Trust me, you know what I'm saying? But if it's only an inch and a half, 2 inches, I mean.
It kind of makes the rest of us look bad if people are like reckless going out there. I think every year somebody goes through, and like, you know, not everybody makes it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of depressing.
Yes.
And if anything, just wait. If you're unsure, just wait till like the middle of the season.
It's one of those things. If you have to ask yourself, is this worth it? 99.9% is not worth it. If you have to ask yourself, like, is this worth for me to walk to go catch a 9-inch bluegill? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you can wait an extra day or two, then it gets a little bit colder to build the ice. And there's all kinds of science formulas on how fast ice builds and everything. So just so everybody knows, I can give a quick tutorial how ice builds. Well, not how ice builds, but, and the thing is, how ice is formed is we got to have the body of water cap over. And for it to cap over first, obviously the water has to be super cold. And then on top of that, we got to have freezing temperatures and no wind, because the wind will create waves, will make it longer before it caps. And if we have no wind and it's frigid temperatures, it will create the ice quite a bit faster. And then, you know, it just builds from that point forward. So the capping is the biggest thing. So once our body of waters can cap, then the ice can create underneath it, and you don't have to worry about the wind too much, because wind doesn't come in. And that's the thing, wind has no effect on the ice creation once it's capped. So that's the biggest thing. That's why you want the body of water to cap first. So then it can be literally 10 degrees, and if it's 100 miles an hour wind, it still will build ice. However, if it doesn't cap and it's 10 degrees and it's 50 miles an hour, it will not cap and ice can't build. So just kind of give everybody a heads up on that. And then don't ask for snow, at least not at the beginning.
Snow is bad for making ice.
Yes, snow is horrible. So everybody's like, oh, the thing is ice fishing, because I was telling my coworkers this last year, is like, you just want snow. I go, hell no, snow is the worst thing when it comes to creating ice. Now, this is the thing about snow. Once we create ice, snow is great. But this is the thing. It works as an insulation. Snow works as an insulation both ways. So this is the thing. Let's just say there is 7 inches of ice that's already created. If we had a big snowstorm, that 7 inches of ice will last quite a bit longer because the snow insulates that ice. So then if you have a couple of days that's 40 or 50 degrees, it'll melt the snow, will do nothing to the ice. Now, if let's just say we have 2 inches of ice and a huge snowstorm comes and we get 6 inches of snow, that ice will not form as fast. And the reason being is because it's blocking out the coldness of the weather. Because you can have literally 0 degrees temperature and ice will barely build, because that snow will use as insulation from the ice to build. So it's a double-edged sword on that. So just kind of give you, like Fishing Kit was saying, we don't want snow at the beginning at all. Tell you the truth, I'd rather not have snow.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. We could actually just have no snow.
Couple inches I'm okay with.
Actually, snow would be good towards the end of ice season. Yeah,
towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and only if we have about, I would say, about 7 inches of ice or more, 6 inches of ice or more. And then if we had a ton of snow at the end of the ice season, it'd be perfect. It'll actually extend most likely our ice season another week or two, just for people to know on that. So hopefully some people learn about that a little bit. I mean, you guys can look it up. For I think I want to say like 4 or 5 years ago, I got really into how the hell ice made and how, you know, all that stuff. I actually Googled and I became one of those freaks that just kind of like, no, I should be able to go ice fishing in the snow, and I kind of figured it out. So it was definitely true on that, man. So let's talk about ice fishing, I guess, on this episode a little bit. Okay, what's your goal this year, man, for ice season?
Hold on. Actually, I want to go back to snow a little bit.
Okay, sorry.
Another thing is, you know, with no snow on the ice, you can see what the ice is doing, like, you know, the condition of the ice. If there's snow on top, you can't see, because the strongest ice is the clear black ice, where you basically just see right through it. And then you can see, like, there's going to be like pressure cracks and whatnot. Then you can kind of judge how thick the ice is without drilling through. But if there's snow on top of all that, or if there's like a patch of thin ice and there's snow on top of it, you can't really see it.
Yeah.
And another thing with snow is if there's a lot of snow, it's going to push that ice down like beneath the water line. And then, you know, that's not going to help the ice at all if it's underwater. And then when you're trying to fish, you're basically walking around in slush because the ice is underneath the water. And it was, what was it, like up at Big Creek? I don't want to say last year, but the year before, we had like, I want to say it was like 10 inches of snow or something went out there. Just basically, you're basically walking in the water on top of the ice. So that's kind of scary.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. The snow, and the thing is when you're pulling, okay, so this is for the people who don't have snowmobiles. So when you're pulling your sled, when you have a ton of snow, imagine you walking on just even 6 inches of snow. If you want to walk like half a mile or a mile and you've got 100 pounds of gear and you're pulling it, yeah, that snow sucks. Now, ice don't like Fishing Kid was saying, though, if you have ice, you know, ice picks.
Bar?
No. What the hell am I thinking? No.
Cleats.
God, can't think about it. Man, too much beer fish fanatics. But too much. Anyways, if you have cleats, if it's ice, you can pull that thing so simple and easy. But you make sure you got cleats. But yeah, that's the only bad thing about snow, too. It's a pain in the ass to pull all your gear if you're looking to, especially if you're looking to be mobile. I think snow is definitely sucks if you're trying to be mobile and find a fish. That definitely puts a damper in regards to how far, how often you move, I would say.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, man. I jumped the gun a little bit. I was just excited. You know, ice is okay. Around the corner. What is your goal? What's your goal this year for ice season? Because, you know, I think a couple years ago, your goal was let's catch a wiper. And then, damn, you got it on. And then last year, I think you did. You're like, I want to catch catfish. I want to catch a good catfish. You got that. So what's your goal this year, man?
Goal for 2020-2021 season. I think camp out on the ice more. That's doable. Let me try to pick a harder challenge. You know, new species would always be a good pick.
Yeah. Well, you camped out last year. That one, I think, within one episode on one of your videos, right?
Yeah, I did one night on the ice.
Okay. You want to camp more than one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like more than one occasion.
Gotcha. Yeah. No. I mean,
new species. I wonder. See, I'm trying to think of what new species I should try to target this year. I mean, I think pike would be one. I never caught pike through the ice.
Pike or muskie.
Well, yeah, I think pike is more doable.
Sure. Well, yeah, I guess I agree with you. And if you want to, but then I think we're going to have to go to.
We're going to have to travel.
Yeah, travel a little bit. My goal is, I think this year is to catch. Well, I kind of have two goals. I want to, obviously, I want to catch at least a double digit catfish if I can. If not, close like to it.
Double-digit weight?
Yeah.
I don't even think I caught a double-digit weight.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. Well, that would be my goal. I'm not saying I'm going to get it.
How about you just catch a catfish through the ice first?
All right. I'll catch a catfish. Okay.
So then you can worry about the weight later.
Fine. You're going to take me this year. You're going to take me because I want to catch a catfish wherever you're at. So hopefully I can at least catch a decent edible-sized catfish if I can. And then my second goal is I want to try at least four new different bodies of water. I think we always fish. I mean, we ice fish similar bodies of water. I think last year I tried a few new ones. Last couple of years with you, I think you tried. You were kind of expanding out a little bit too.
I guess that'd be another good goal. Try to expand the lakes. Yeah.
If not four, at least three for the year. I think it'd be kind of. I think that's feasible if we do three new. Lakes or just new bodies of water. Just
easy, man. I already got like a few lists or a few lakes I want to hit up this season.
It's hard for someone like me. When I go ice fishing, I'm excited. Yeah. I have to plan. Like I have to make sure all the schedule matches up with the kids and, you know, the true boss. So I got to make sure that it's allowed that I can go to certain spots or whatnot, or at least like you say, you know, if we're going to travel then to make sure I can actually do that. But yeah, I think that's a good goal. I think we should definitely try one. And I kind of want to go up north a little bit if we can this year. The reason being is because I think they have other species that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the pike. I think we'd have to go north for that.
I agree. We should try that. We'll try that a couple times. And anybody who's listening to this, if you guys up in Minnesota, Wisconsin, or northern Iowa, I mean, we want to catch some, like he was just saying, we want to catch some pike or muskies or anything through the ice or just any different species that we don't have here in central Iowa. I mean, hit us up, message us. We're just a bunch of dudes that love to fish, and we would love to, if you guys could guide us on there and show us a good time and find, you know, species that we've never caught, because I'd be super excited if we can just, like you said, just to travel to a new body of water and catch a new species. I think it'd be super exciting. So that'll be a pretty good goal for us this year. What else, man? What else do you want to do this ice season? Anything, you know, anything else?
Yeah, I want to do more of the camping on the ice thing. And I guess I want to refine my my new favorite ice species, the catfish and wipers. If I can hone in on those two species more, I think that'd be good. Especially both catfish and wipers.
Yeah.
If I could fine tune like catching them through the ice, I'd feel pretty accomplished.
Yeah. I think I kind of want to catch more wipers. I think last year I didn't catch as many at all. Really, I think it maybe caught
same for me.
I don't know. I just didn't have a great ice season last year.
Did you catch any wipers last year?
I'm trying to think, man. I might not have. I targeted it. Obviously, but no, I don't think I don't know if I caught that many, if at all, last year. But I know obviously the year before, I mean, I was super excited, super stoked. But you got to get me back on them, man.
I got to get myself back on them. It was a struggle last year.
Yeah, we got to try that. It was just, I don't know. I wonder, the bite just wasn't the same through the ice last year in Central Iowa. That's what I'm saying. We might have to, I mean,
last winter was weird.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a little bit weird. And I think this year is going to be a, for people who don't ice fish, I'm sorry. I have a feeling this year is going to be a rough winter. I think it's going to be really good for the ice fishing people. In regards to ice, I think it's going to create a lot. I think Central Iowa is going to have quite a bit. I could be wrong, but I just have one of those weird feelings. I think we're going to have ice till March. I really do.
I'm in a different camp. I got no expectations.
All right.
But, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it for what it is.
We're putting a bet on it. I think we'll have ice till March.
Like Central Iowa? Talking like Des Moines area?
At least Clear Lake.
Clear Lake to March. I think that's normal for Clear Lake.
All right. Central Iowa. We'll put a bet on this. So anybody who's listening to this, comment down below on Fishing Kits and people who are listening on the podcast or whatnot. If you want to just jump on and on our Facebook or Instagram, let us know. What should we bet on? I think ice is going to be here Central Iowa till March.
Like the first week of March?
Yep. First week of March. I believe we're going to have ice. I'm not wishing for us to have a horrendous winter or anything, but I just think that we're just going to have enough of a cold front or cold whatever winter that it's going to build so much ice that we're going to have ice till March, man.
I think that's pretty conservative of a guess.
What?
First week of March.
How long do you want to give me to? You want me to do middle March? Oh, boy, that's tough.
If you want to push it, I would. If I were you, I'd say third week of March.
Third week of March? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, second week. I'll give you the second week.
March 14th.
Just go 15th. I'll do March 1st. I'll do March 1st. You do the 15th. How about that?
Well, what 2 weeks. Okay, we don't know what we're going to bet on. Okay? So we'll let whoever listens to this. What should we bet on? Whether it's beer.
Yeah, what's the wager?
We don't know because we tend to do wagers here and there. So
I usually lose when I start betting.
So we'll try this. No, I don't know. You can ask our buddies. I don't have a good track record when it comes to betting while drinking. So trust me on that. But I think we're gonna have ice until March 15th. So if I'm wrong, let me know let us know, comment below or like I say, follow us on our Facebook and Instagram. Let us know what you guys recommend us to put the wager on the ice if it's going to last till then. So, and don't worry, Fishing Kid still has to do his donkey kicks. Trust me. I still remember from that. I don't know if, you know, the people who've been watching all of our podcasts, thank you so much, listeners. Thank you so much, watchers. But
shout outs to Ed Brown. I know you watch him all, Ed.
There you go. So this guy still has to do his stinking donkey kicks that he's owed for cracking a bottle and dropping it and spilling it all over. So he still has to owe that. And he knows that. We might just do it on ice one day. Who knows? We're going to do because my other goal. I'm sorry. I almost forgot, dude. I want to be able to do this podcast while we're on the ice. I think. That was one of my goals is to do we could do live. I mean, we can figure that out.
It depends on the reception and stuff.
And it won't be as great, obviously, quality if we do a live because it's going to be straight off the phone. So I don't know if you guys want that. Let us know. If you guys want us to do some live podcasts, it's definitely something we talked about a little bit, but wasn't sure if people were actually wanting to do something, you know, watch us, listen to us live, because, you know, it's obviously a lot easier to listen or watch us, you know, at your own time. But if you guys want to hear us, watch us live, let us know. I mean, we can try that. It'd be kind of cool. We go ice fishing, do it live, you know, it could happen. And but yeah, that was my thing. Do a podcast live while we're ice fishing and catch fish. We still haven't done that yet. Like I was saying, that was still one of our biggest goals is to catch a fish while doing the podcast because I don't think anybody's ever done that. So
yeah,
so we got to do it, man. We got to do it before somebody else like, oh, we beat those guys, suckers. I don't know. Anyway, let me know, man. Fact check me if somebody already caught a fish while doing a podcast. I don't think it's happened. I don't think anybody's crazy and stupid as us.
Yeah, hey, I don't think so. I don't think anyone has.
I don't think so. I mean, I looked around. I literally searched as many fishing podcasts as I could. I don't think anybody's actually ever caught a fish live. Because typically when you're doing a podcast, you're talking, not fishing. We can multitask. We did it once. Yeah. We did it twice, guys. We did two episodes. We didn't catch fish.
No. We got a bad track record right now.
We got a bad track. You're right. You're right, man. Other thing was I want to talk a little bit more. We have some. Yeah, we had a little bit of time. I want to talk a little bit more about other gears that you may need for ice fishing. If you want, get a shack. Obviously, that will help in regards to if you have a family, if you want to take kids out, you know, to get out of the elements if it's a little bit too cold, too windy. That would be another thing you definitely should, I guess you can get splurge on. Also, you're going to need an auger. I would highly recommend nowadays. Do they sell gas augers still? I highly recommend.
Yeah. I don't think gas augers aren't going away. Okay. They're not going away.
My thoughts are on that is like the technology nowadays, the battery, you know, operated augers, they work just as good, quieter. And I think they last longer than the gas. Well, I don't know if they last longer than the gas augers.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I mean, it depends on your battery. But, you know, your batteries, you're talking like a 9-amp battery is like $200-$300 just the battery.
But also keep in mind, a gas auger is extremely heavy versus if you just take an auger. Actually, the augers that I have is just we have a clam, you know, drill. I have a drill and it's just a clam adapter. And super easy, super convenient if you guys want to do that. But just make sure you guys, whatever you do, get an auger. Make sure you can even do a hand auger. I mean, it's just make sure you got good blades on it and you're fine.
Blades and strong arms.
Yeah. But so we can tell the story. So anybody's listening to this. So the story was when I first really got fishing kit into ice fishing.
Oh, dude.
And this is the first time that I really got into ice fishing. I forgot. It was like 6-7 years ago. And so I had no idea. I got a hand auger, like, oh, it's gonna be awesome. I'm like, bigger the better, right? So I got an 8-inch regular hand auger. Okay.
It was an 8-inch Mora. I remember.
Yes. And the thing is, it was brand new. I was like, you know, how hard could it be? 8-inch. All right, guys. I'm telling you guys right now, go out there when ice season starts. If you get an 8-inch hand auger, good luck drilling more than 10 holes that day.
Yeah, especially if you're talking like 8+ inches of ice. Oh, yeah. Dude.
Yeah, we did that, I think, the first time I took fishing kit out. So I think it was like a foot. I think it was like 12
was
inches.
Was it at Big Creek?
Yeah, I think
it was like 2 feet because there was trucks driving on the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that truck drove up and talked to us. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. And we're like, oh, what the hell is this guy doing driving up to us?
Yeah, so see, we didn't know any better. We're like 12 inches of ice and... You know, like he was saying, he was driving a truck, but the 12 inch of ice and for us to drill hand auger.
2 feet of ice.
2 feet. Yeah, it was almost 2 feet of ice. Let's just say this. We probably drilled at best maybe like five holes each. Because
like one for me, one for you. And then we moved spots, one for me, one for you.
That was about it. Because it's a workout beyond a workout. So, but what I highly recommend, if you're going to fish, ice fish, first hand auger, if you're going to get that only. Get a 6-inch, get a laser.
At the most, 6.
Yeah. Don't go any higher. You can even go a 4 or 5. 5 inch is even cool because I'm telling you guys, that additional 2 inches, I'm telling you, the amount of effort and amount of torque that you have to do with your hand augering is not fun, especially if it's 7-6 inches or more. I agree. But we learned our lesson. It was one of those things where I was like, all right, I had to sell this thing, so I sold it to Mark.
Yeah, it's actually like... An 8-inch auger is like even hard on like a power drill and stuff.
Yep. And that's the thing. Like, and that's the thing too. When 8-inch, I mean, guys, at the end of the day, you don't need an 8-inch hole to land crappies, bluegills. You don't need an 8-inch hole to actually even land small white bass, even any panfish for that matter. 6 inches is more than enough for
6 inches is plenty for like most fish.
Yeah, you get just imagine the girth. So if you're watching or listening to this, I mean, just imagine the girth of the fish. I mean, the fish that's at least in central Iowa or northern Iowa or in south Iowa, the girth of it's not going to be more than 6-7 inches. And even those are that big. I mean, it's very rare that you're going to find a species of a fish that's going to be that large, you know, 8 inches. You guys got to think of that way. And then those guys who drill those 10 inch, please stop, because people fall in those 10 inch holes.
Bunch of kids. Like,
I know. Be careful.
An adult 10 inch hole, your freaking leg will go right through that.
I fell in one in Denver, in Colorado. And
Sean yeah. had his whole leg go, in the, yeah. go through.
So, I mean, I guess, I mean, depending on what you're, I don't know what the heck you're going to be catching for a 10 inch hole. I'll be honest with you guys. I have no idea. There's really no benefit to a 10 inch hole unless you're catching monsters.
Right.
I mean, in reality.
And another thing with the smaller hole, like a 6 inch hole, if let's say you catch a crappie, if he pops off in the hole, that fish can't turn around and go down the hole. If it's like a 6 inch hole versus yeah. like an 8 inch hole, that fish pops off. He has room to turn around and he go back down the hole. Yep. That's another advantage of having a smaller hole.
So you have.
When you ice fish, you're going to lose fish. Like, they're going to pop off right in the hole. Mm-hmm. And if you got like a big gaping 8-10 inch hole, that fish is going to turn around, go right back down. But if it's like a 6 inch hole, he's going to try to turn around, but he can't because it's, you know, the diameter is too small. Then you just reach down and grab the fish.
Yep. It gives you that split second to reach out and grab fishing kits. Right. And I'm telling you, every ice fisherman knows that heartbreak. When you lose it, right. Yeah. I mean, it is heartbreaking. Everybody knows it. Every ice fisherman knows it. Every new ice fisherman, you're going to know it, because even if you have a 6-inch hole, it doesn't matter. You're going to have it happen. It happens. And it's just like, it's depressing. So, but fishing kit's correct. It gives you that little time to possibly just reach down and grab it right before it goes down. But 8-inch, yep, you're right. It's gone. Good luck trying to get it again. But
yeah, I mean, unless you got like a huge fish.
Yeah.
But then, you know, a 6-inch hole is going to be your problem with like a big ass fish anyways.
Yeah. And then other thing I recommend, obviously getting. So this is the thing. I recommend it up to you. You don't have to. And if you have family, if you're just getting to ice fishing, you want to just go to, you know, get the cheapest ice fishing poles you can. No big deal. I highly do recommend getting custom poles. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't buy any other poles anymore now, because I just feel the custom made poles, they're designed to what you want in regards to presentation, in regards to the fish that you're going after. So I mean, fishing kit here, we primarily use Saki Fishing. I mean, he's one of my vendors for Mop Pop Fishing. He's the reason why. I really do believe his quality is amazing work, but there you go.
Hey, Saki Fishing.
Saki Fishing. So giving Sean a shout out, but you know what? Get your orders in now. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how busy. Ooh. I do know this. Orders are ramping up for him. He's a one-man show, and he builds, and he takes his time. It's pure quality. So
he might be backed up by the time this launches.
That's true. So, I mean, hit him up. If not, hit mypopfishing.com, and I'll try and get you guys some. I think I'll be carrying a few of his fishing poles and everything. But like I said, I highly do recommend ice fishing poles, custom made poles, because I think it's just, like I said, it's just the feel and just the confidence. I think when you're ice fishing, if you have a good pole and a pole that's doing what you want it to do and has enough backbone, has the finesse, has all that stuff, it all adds up. It's just worth it to me. I mean, if it catches me one or two more fish at the end of the day, I think I spent my money. I think it's worth it. But it's a lot cheaper than open water custom poles. I'll tell you guys that much. So open water custom poles can get up to the $500-$800. It's ridiculous, because I know, because my in-laws are into that. But ice fishing poles, custom made poles, I mean, you can get really, really top quality ones for under $150, under $125. So I highly recommend that. Anything else you recommend for ice people getting into it, or who, you know, one or two seasons in, who want to advance their game?
Well, if you're just getting into it, you might not want to dive into the custom rod thing, but if you kind of know what you want in a rod, I say you might as well go custom. Or, you know, if you can't afford one, you don't have to get a custom rod.
True. I mean, you don't have to.
I mean, you go out to Walmart and buy a $20 combo and still catch fish.
But don't do that. We support the, you know, small, yeah, small stores, guys. Yeah. Local bait shops. You're going to do that.
Yeah, get it from your bait shop.
Yeah.
You're going to get a combo.
I'm not telling you guys not to shop at the big box stores, but you can get the same pole. And you can say cheap one. Just go to the local bait shop, support local. Yeah. You can get probably a pole right there for like 20, 30 bucks, if that. You know what I'm saying? So just go do that.
At least you can talk to like the bait shop guy, and he can tell you more about like the bite, like maybe how to use that rod that you just picked up, versus if you go to Walmart, buy that same combo, you just go there. Who do I talk to if I want to know about this? Nobody. You just go check out, then you just go home and research, I suppose.
Yep. Nope. I agree with you. Definitely do that, guys. Go to the local bait shop and buy, because like Fishing Kid said, they talk to other ice fishermen, so they'll know where the bite is or where it's hot. On top of that, they'll tell you, you should use this lure. This is what's biting over that lake. Or you can tell them, like he's just saying, talk to them. They're full of knowledge. You're supporting local, so that's not a bad thing. So definitely do that. But yeah, I think they give you knowledge that's priceless, that Walmart, even the big like Bass Pro, I mean, they might know the guys there that sell. I mean, I think they're slowly hiring people that, you know, have some knowledge in regards to that.
I think they see the potential and like having knowledgeable staff. I think that's what Shields, that's the good thing about Shields. Like they hire people that know kind of that department that they're working in.
Yeah, you got to. I think you have to, because I mean, if you're selling stuff that you don't know anything about, it's just like I say, at the end of the day, then you're just buying something from a Walmart
store. Walmart's like bottom of the barrel.
At least knowledge wise, in regards to that, I highly discount them. You won't get any knowledge there. And on top of that, like I said, you're going to gain something. You go to a bait shop, you're going to gain some type of knowledge. You might not use it today, but you can definitely, you know, figure out something later on. And most likely, they know where the hot bite is, or at least where most of the people are fishing, so they can tell you and what lures to probably use on them.
Yeah, because I like going into bait shops and just bullshit with the owners or whatever.
Oh yeah,
and then they'll just share, you know, whatever we talk about with the next guy.
That's the thing. That's the cool thing about small businesses and locals, that they are willing to share their knowledge and what they know. To help you guys, especially catch fish. I mean, especially if you're starting really to get into it, you don't know where to go. I mean, you can just be like, I'm just going to go to a pond down the block. And that's the thing too. Make sure, check out your city ordinance and all that stuff, because I can tell you this, because I live on the east side of Des Moines, Iowa, Pleasant Hill. We can't ice fish here. So
I want to ice fish Copper Creek so bad.
Me too. But that's the thing. So you guys make sure you guys check out the legalities of it, of your city and your city ordinance. If you can ice fish certain ponds, certain lakes around you, because sometimes you can't just go out, and just go and ice fish just because you see ice there. So make sure you don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to get a ticket, because that will ruin your experience. And then most likely you're not going to go back and do it, because you're going to be like, this stinks and sucks. So make sure you check on that. And then I guess the only other thing, you can always add more stuff, everything from heaters, sleds, what kind of sleds. And I recommend getting shovels so you can shovel the ice and the snow. And there's
sled would help with carrying all your gear.
Yep. I would say that's probably one of a must have. A sled is a must have. The reason being is, I mean, unless you're going to hand carry everything. And
like Denny, like that guy was walking out with a bucket, put his rods, everything in his bucket. It's for convenience. Yeah. Like just throw all your stuff in a sled. The only thing you got to worry about is maybe you got to carry one item in one of your hands if you got too much stuff for your sled. But you should be able to fit everything in your sled.
Yeah, I highly recommend a sled. They can get pricey, but you know, worst comes to worst, you can always use a kid's sled. I have
it's like 10-20 bucks.
Yep. If that's the thing, if ice fishing can probably be one of the cheapest sports or activities you do, because you don't have to buy a $500 flasher. You don't have to buy
let's talk about flasher. Electronics.
Oh, we'll do that in the next episode, man. Because I gotta go get another beer. All right, so yeah, we'll continue right now. We're Fishing Kid and myself, we're just talking about we'll extend this episode. We'll talk more about the electronics and everything. But before we do that, we had to go get a quick refill. I'm doing the Carol Light now. try this out. Supposedly, because Bruno at El Bechop said this is really good. It's a good. This is probably one of the better beers to have instead of like one of those cheap domestic big ones. I don't know, but I'm gonna try this. So, like I said, thank you so much to Carol Brewing and Bruno again for donating some beer to us to try and have on our podcast. What are you drinking right now?
I'm gonna switch up breweries on this one.
Right. But
Bruno did bring up this brewery. That's kind of the reason why I bought this beer. It's from BrewDog.
Oh yeah.
So they're based out of Scotland, but I think it was brewed like this beer itself came from.
Cheers, man.
It's brewed in the U.S., but the brewery started out in Scotland.
So anyone's wondering, definitely check this Carol Light out. So this is the thing. If you like Bud Light, Busch Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, those are big boys that, you know, big corporation. Go get this, support local, especially in central Iowa, if you can. But the others who don't live in Iowa, sorry, you guys are going to have to travel to Iowa to buy this, obviously, for now. This beer is actually really damn good for a light beer. It has a lot of crisp flavor. It's not too hot. It's just like a light beer, but it's not watered down.
Yeah. It'd be an easy beer for
I'm telling you, dude.
For the normies that drink the light lagers, yes. Which is your Bud Lights, Busch Lights, Coors Lights, things like that.
So I highly recommend you guys. Oh man, I am not lying. I can drink this one all day.
Oh yeah, mine's a tangerine session IPA.
Nice.
So session IPAs is for those of you that wanna, I guess, step up your beer game.
So we were talking ice fishing, and we just, you know, obviously it's ice is here around the corner, but we're jumping in real quick about the electronics. And this is the thing. If you're getting to ice fishing, I mean, it is a expensive item, but you can get some cheaper electronics that will just get a regular flasher that I think you can get on for $200. And it can just get you to just the bare minimum. What you need is, you know, you can see your fish, the lure, and you can see a fish, if it's a column, if it's chasing it up or not. You can get those for under $200. I think Markham has them. The troll, I used to have one of those. So you can get those.
Oh, the, what's it called?
Is it the
troller or something?
Yeah, something like that. I had that originally just for anybody, if I had a spare person to come. But I mean, I would say I highly recommend it. It will make your ice fishing more enjoyable. And it helps, obviously, to land more fish. But it's not a necessity to ice fish. You can always ice fish without it. But
it's just more information for you as an angler.
Yes.
Information you have, the easier it is on you.
And I mean, it's fun, man. At the end of the day, girls and guys, my girls loved it because it's like a video game, and it's, you know, because you can see your lure, you can see if there's fish there or not. And that's the thing too. You can see if there's fish there or not. And if there's no fish there, you don't want to stay there for 4 hours in 0-degree temperature if there's no fish there. So it helps in that sense too. Like I said, I highly recommend it. It's not required, but what would you say if somebody's looking to buy a flasher electronics? Okay, what would you recommend? Okay, we'll start at the beginning. I'm getting to ice fishing. What would you recommend? I say I have a $200 to $300 budget. What would you say for them to get or to do?
I think the best piece of advice for somebody that's getting into ice fishing is to go with somebody that's experienced. That is the best piece of advice I could give somebody.
Yep, I agree.
Because they're going to have, you know, the experience, the knowledge, the gear. So if you're curious about flashers, odds are they're going to have a flasher. Like if I invite somebody new with me, you know, they want to wonder about, you know, my rod, my custom rods, the flasher I'm using, like my tents, things like that. Go with somebody that has all that stuff. It's going to be right there and you can see it in action. I think that's the best way to get into it. Just go with somebody experienced.
I agree with you. Actually, a lot of my buddies who all got into ice fishing, I took them. I had all the gear and stuff already, so it helps. And just knowing what to get. But no, you're right. I think it makes it more enjoyable because they know what they're doing. At least they know, you know, most of the time they're going to take you to a spot where they've caught fish. So that helps too, number one. Number two, they have the equipment, so you don't have to technically purchase it, you know, a ton of anything. All you need to do is, we always tell, right, Kit, anybody who comes, who's never ice fish, who wants to get into ice fish or try it, we just tell them, just bring warm clothes, layer up, and we have everything else. So,
and that way you can gauge whether that's something you want to do or not.
Agreed. Nope. I agree.
They could probably try to make the best scenario happen for you, opposed to like you go grab the cheapest rod, cheapest flasher. So you're out like $300, then you go out and have a terrible time. Then you end up selling your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you can easily spend $1,000. I mean, in the first year that if you're getting into it, easily $1,000 just to get gear.
Yeah, if you want to go all out, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to spend about up. Yeah, it can add up. Just buy yourself little by little. I highly recommend that. I mean, certain things you don't need, certain things you do need. But like Fishing Kit said, go with somebody, a friend that does ice fishing a lot, has a lot of gear. Just buy maybe one or two things this year. Go with them. So, you know, they have a heater, they have a hut, or they have auger or whatever. Just get a pole. Get a pole for now and maybe get a flasher. And just go with them, you know, this year. Make sure you enjoy it. Or not even a flasher, just get an auger and a pole, go with them. And then maybe next year you buy a flasher and you maybe buy a hut or a flip over or whatever. Just slowly build up your gear. Highly recommend that. It's, I don't know, man. Cause everybody always asks like, is it cheating? So that's what I would ask you. So this is the thing I get asked all the time. That's cheating. Nah, that's cheating. Cause I go,
oh, the flasher thing.
Yeah. It's electronics. Like Fishing Kit and I was saying is that you can see your jig, you can, or your lure, you can see it moving up and down on these flashers. I mean, nowadays you got cameras. I mean, Fishing Kit has a camera. You can literally see it. The fish finders, you can see the fish, you can see the movements of them. Is it cheating, man?
Well, as far as it being cheating, I don't think so. It's more of a tool because you want to maximize your time on the water without electronics. Like, I'll just go back to the whole information thing. You know, it's feedback to you as an angler, like what's going on. If you're spending more time trying to figure out like how deep am I, you know, yeah. You got those dropper weights and you're trying to figure out how deep you are. Like, oh, this is only 10 feet. You know, with the flasher, you just put it in the water. Boom, I'm in 15 feet. I want to be in 20. Drill a few more holes, drop it down. Boom, you're in 20 feet. Like, all right, I want to fish this area. But if you don't have electronics and if you kind of know where you want to fish, you're going to have to manually figure out, you know, how deep you're fishing.
And, you know, the thing is, for a person like myself, it's very convenient to have electronics. And the reason being is because I don't get to spend the whole day when I get to go ice fishing or fishing in general. I get to go, you know, maybe a couple hours at best because, you know, family time or whatnot. It helps, like Fishing Kid was just saying, if I know this is not the spot I want to be at. And, you know, the electronics can literally help me within seconds versus me trying to do it manually and everything, finding the depth and all that. So it helps to have that. I think I enjoy it more. A lot of people enjoy it more when they see, you know, just their lure and fish in action.
It's all feedback.
Yeah, it is all feedback. And I tell anybody, you love video games, you're going to love ice fishing, especially in this day and age with the flashers and, you know, the magnets. Now, my only other question is, so there's new technology, everything, live scope, panoptics. Do you think that's cheating? So, and the reason why I say this, so if you know, new people, I'm pretty sure all the ice fishing people know what that is. It's a electronic that can literally help you see if fish is 100 or 50 feet this way or 50 feet that way in any direction, 360 degrees.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it shows you the shape of the fish, the size of the fish. I mean, it shows a lot within the radius of where you're at. So it helps in regards to that. You think that's cheating? I don't know. I mean, I think it helps more. I don't know if it's cheating.
It all comes back to information and feedback.
Okay.
Because, well, with what LiveScope does, it's kind of like a camera, but uses sonar. Because with the camera, you're limited to what the camera can see, like visually. If the water's murky, the camera, all you're going to see is murky water. But with sonar, water murkiness or water clarity doesn't matter, because you know it's all based on sound. It's not like a visual thing. Like I was talking about the depth earlier, just because you figure out you're in 20 feet and that's where you want to fish doesn't mean fish is going to be there.
You still have to catch them, guys. At the end of the day, when people are telling me that's cheating, doesn't mean the fish bite, man. You might be on it. How many times have we been on top of fish? Like schools of fish, tons of fish. They're not biting. And we actually, electronics could be more of a frustration than anything, because you know that you're on top of fish. You know they're right there. You know they're looking at your lure and they just won't bite. But that's where I think comes into, you know, experience of changing your lure, changing presentation, all that stuff comes into play. But yeah, it can be super frustrating. I still get frustrated when that happens. Yeah. We're on top of fish and it's just like, come on. It's right. Bite.
Yeah, that's where it all comes back to the information and feedback. Because like the more advanced electronics you have, the more information, the more feedback you're going to get. Like with a basic flasher, you'll at least, you know, be able to tell your depth and if there's a fish there. But you don't know what kind of fish, you know, you don't know which way he's facing. That's and true. The more you step up, the details get finer. That's the difference between the prices and flashers, is because like the cheaper flashers, your target separation is going to be greater or more finer with the more expensive flashers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? When we'll do a podcast when we're out ice fishing, so people who are watching on YouTube can see, and we'll explain a little bit more to the people who are just listening and everything. When we do a podcast when we're actually on the ice, to kind of to give everybody a little heads up what we're looking at and what we're doing on that. So, and then also I forgot to mention, dude, if anybody was wondering, like my background, did it change that people are watching on YouTube? Yeah, I did, because I had my other background on earlier. I totally forgot. Oh. So I forgot to switch it because I do have two podcasts. I forgot about that. So, but it's all good, man. It's all the same to me. Anything else, man? We've been talking for about an hour now.
I want to dive into the live scope thing more. You know, I keep saying it, but the more information and the more feedback you have as an angler, the easier it is going to be for you. I think that's why live scope is kind of like contentious, because with your regular sonar, your flashers, you know, you can tell there's a fish down there and how deep it is. But with live scope, it can tell you which direction it is. A lot of times you tell what kind of fish it is, which way the fish is facing, you know, which direction it's moving. With the flasher, it's either there or it's not. But with the live scope, you're getting all this feedback. What it's doing, how it's reacting to your bait, is just so much information that makes it easier for the angler. That's why I think some tournaments kind of ban it, because you know exactly everything that's going on. There's basically no guesswork to it.
But it's not cheap.
It comes at a price, of course.
Yeah,
and I'd say they got a monopoly on that market, because there's no equivalent Lowrance, Hummingbird, Vexilar. There's There's no equivalent sonar technology that can compete with the Garmin live scope.
So
that's why it comes at a premium. It's like $3,000.
So anybody, actually fact check us on that if anybody can, or just let us know. I wonder if they have that patent.
Lowrance is coming out with something similar, but it's not like the resolution is not as good.
Okay, because that's what I was wondering. It's like, you know, these other companies have just a great amount of designers and engineers who can create it too. But I'm just wondering if they have a specific, I bet you their models, it's patented. It's obviously, it's got to be patented. They're not, or else we would have seen it at least this year. I mean, it's been out, what, 2 years now? 2 or 3 years now, I think, LiveScope?
LiveScope, I want to say it came out a couple years, two seasons ago.
Yeah. And like Fishing Kid said, man, it's like, it's pricey, but the amount of information you get from that, I mean, it's well worth it. Because and the cool thing about them, you can use it in open water. You can put it
the less guessing you have to do when you're fishing, the easier it is for you. That's what it boils down to. And with live scope, there isn't much guessing. You just point it, other than like pointing, oh, they're not to my right, okay, I'll point it to the left, there they are.
Yeah. And then like I said, though, you can use it on your boat. You can do it ice fishing, because that sucker, you can literally use it on open water. You can use it ice fishing, and you know, it's just one of those things where it's all season. So in a way, it pays for itself, because you know you were gonna get one if you had a boat. Even kayak, you can put it on a kayak too. I mean, kayak, same thing.
Ice fishing. You're gonna if you want to maximize your time on the water.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it.
If you can afford it, get it. yeah, if you can afford it, definitely get it. It would definitely save you a lot of time and effort in regards to searching for the fish and everything on that. So hopefully one day we can afford it. I don't know, man.
Hey. Once the technology gets cheaper and the competitors catch up, mm-hmm. that's when prices are going to go down.
I agree.
But until that happens.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Because they keep rolling out new features, too, with the live scope. Because now they got the 360.
Yeah, I heard about that. I haven't seen it in action, but I might have to YouTube that. But
it's like an overhead view of your boat.
Really?
Yeah, and you can see, like, all around you, like, where the fish are. What's down there in real time, you know? So uh-huh. you'll see when a fish moves, you'll see that traditional sonar. You won't see that.
Gotcha. Well, if anybody's working at Garmin or listening to this,
I've never used LiveScope, but I've done my research.
Yeah. So, but like I was saying, anybody listen, if you're from Garmin or you work for Garmin or anybody, you know.
Yeah, give us a holler.
Give us a holler. I'm just saying, we're not asking for much. We're not asking for any type of monetary things, but I definitely wouldn't mind trying your, we just gave you guys a great plug, honestly, Garmin. So if you're listening.
Let's take it back to, okay, so you went out fishing with your buddy who's a hardcore ice fisherman, mm-hmm. like Ma Pop Fishing over here. And then you're deciding, you know, okay, I think I do want to start getting my own stuff. Like, as far as flashers go, I think it depends on your bodies of water. If you're fishing 5 to 30 feet of water, you probably get away with getting your entry level flashers, like LX3.
M1, dude. They have the M1.
M1.
From Markham. And then on the Vexlars, they have the FL8. Yeah, FL8. I mean, you can get those. I think nowadays, I mean, honestly, you can get them from under 250. I mean, I'll just
say too, like 300. I want to say 300.
But it doesn't hurt to go used.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. Yeah, go used.
Yeah, I mean, technically, it's just a flasher. I mean, to help you locate the fish. And if you want to get it used, you can get, like Fishing Kid was just saying, you can get the M1s or VX1. That was the Markham before the M1s came out. They're the same thing, but the VX1 Pro or whatever, you can get those for, I mean, used. I think you can get them for around 200. And then same thing with
$200.
Yeah, and just get them used. And then the best, customer service, if you ever have issues with them, and you do, you'll run into issues, you can always send it back to, like, Markham. They'll fix it for you, and they get it back to you pretty quick. I think they charge whatever for shipping and whatever to fix. But like I said, get it used if you budgetary reasons and everything. But like,
yeah, just figure out what kind of bodies of water you're fishing. If you're like in some deep water lakes, let's say you're fishing 50 to 100 feet, you're gonna have to get a stronger unit, let's say M5 or whatever, because they got more power. So it takes more power to look into that deep water.
Yeah, I have an LX5i right now. I use that pretty much religiously wherever I go. I haven't had any issues with that. I do want to upgrade one day, but it's just why I don't really need to at the moment. It would be nice to have, like you're saying, a live scope and a panoptics and all that stuff, but it's not necessary. But if you can save enough to get one, I'll definitely, go for it. But like Fishing Kid said, if you're fishing local waters that are 30 feet or less depth wise, yeah, you'd be okay with any of those that he just
mentioned. Entry-level flashers, fine.
Yeah, entry-level is just fine.
Another thing that's getting popular the last couple of years is people are using graphs.
So, yeah, you like that for ice fishing?
Well, I mean, I got LX7. I only use it in the graph mode.
Do you? No, I also wonder because some people...
Or actually, I use a split because the thing with I like the graph is because you got history. Because with the regular flasher, there's no history. It just shows you what's down there at that moment.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
With the graph traditional sonar, it's going to show how the fish is like reacting. It's like going up and down, up and down. You know, you can see, you look back at the history, see what the fish is doing. Like, let's say, you're not staring at the screen the whole time, especially if you're fishing with friends or whatever, kind of just like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Then you look over like, oh, I was doing, like, you see what your lure was doing and how the fish were reacting. Then you just try to repeat that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if I do this again, and then, oh, the fish came back.
I agree with you. It definitely, it just depends. But the graph, I guess that's true.
I prefer the graph, but I do both. I do both.
I just like the traditional, honestly.
The flasher.
Yeah. What was that? See, flasher mode? The just flasher, it goes in a circle. The circle. Dial. Yeah, the dial. I prefer that. I do like the column one too once in a while. But I prefer the dial. I don't know. That's just it's preference. But like I you think say,
the best combination is both. Have the dial for your whole water column,
mm-hmm.
and then zoom in to like the last 10 feet or whatever for your graph.
Yep.
Because what the thing about the graph is, there's only so much up and down space for the whole water column on the graph. But with the dial, since it's in a circle, you fit like the whole water column on your screen. Because with the graph, you know, you have to zoom all the way out, so everything's a little tiny.
Like, so I'm not rich like him that can afford electronic that can show both. I only got the dial. Got the dial.
But people are using more your boat sonars, like your hummingbirds, Helix 5, Helix 7 is getting really popular. The thing with those is the advantage is you swap between your boat and ice fishing, and if you got your GPS on there, whatever waypoints you mark on your boat, or you go out to whatever lake, you find 10 brush piles, put them all on your chart plotter. I think that's the term for it.
Yeah.
And then put that thing on your little ice fishing setup. Just go out to those same brush piles on the ice.
But that's the thing. Nope. It depends on what you want. And there's so many out there. So make sure you guys.
So many options.
Yeah, there's so many options. Make sure you guys just search. I mean, do your research. And the biggest thing is, like you say, go with somebody who's been out there, who's knows what they're doing. Go to the local bait shops. Talk to people. I mean, search on the internet. You can hit reviews on every electronic. It is expensive. It's a great investment, especially if you're really loving it and you're getting into ice fishing. You love it and you want to just get better and catch more fish. It's a must have at the end of the day once you really are getting into it, I think. So
if you don't know anybody, like personally, like, okay, not everybody has fishing friends. I understand.
Yeah,
there's fishing groups all over Facebook.
Yep.
Kind of put it out there, but also do your due diligence. Don't go with any random person. Kind of what's the word? Vet them. Like kind of go, because you know it's Facebook. You go to their profile picture.
True.
And, oh, this guy says he'll take me fishing, but then you click on his profile, go through his feed. If he posts some questionable stuff or does some things, you're like, I don't know. Okay, maybe not this guy. Maybe not this guy.
Use your best judgment, man, at the end of the day. But nope, you're right. There's a lot of knowledge out there on the internet. If you guys want, I mean, YouTube is the greatest thing, especially for ice fishing nowadays. Oh, by the way, jump on it now, everybody. Ice fishing is coming up. I guarantee you all the fishing YouTube channels that you love from people who in Canada, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Midwest, Denver, Colorado, I guarantee you right now they're starting to post a bunch of ice fishing stuff because you got the itch. Everybody gets the itch. It's so weird. The difference between open water and ice fishing, there's a weird itch that comes when ice is around the corner or is here, and it's almost especially in, you know, central Iowa, it's here and it's almost there. We're just waiting for the ice to just grow a little bit thicker. The anticipation's and it's insane in a way, I guess you can say, but it's weird, man. We just, I don't know. It's a own, can't explain it until you get into it. Right.
Yeah. Ice fishermen are a little bit more dedicated.
I agree. I mean, we're the only people who would pack 150 pounds of gear and go fishing in 0 to -20. I mean, I love it. I love fishing in 0 to -20. It's awesome. People look at me, I'm freaking crazy, but it's,
I hate it, but I do it.
Exactly. See, that's even worse. You're worse than me. Hey, I actually appreciate it. I love it. You're the one who goes, I hate this weather, it sucks, but you go and do it because you love the fishing.
It's the dedication, man.
You love it. So other than that, man, hopefully we'll talk a little bit more about ice fishing because the season's coming up. We just wanted to do a quick episode, not a quick episode, but just want to do an episode and really get into the gear, how to get everybody ready for ice fishing. And, you know, everybody's excited because every time I post about ice fishing, everybody's like, yep, can't wait. And I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be excited to see Fishing Kit's YouTube channel, what he's going to be bringing this year through the ice. Hopefully we hit some of the milestones and hit some of the stuff that we're looking to do goal-wise. So
yeah, hopefully catfish. wipers, camping on the ice.
That's and the goal.
Hopefully at least one or two, at least one or two new species.
All right. I'll do this, man. You can't, I don't think I can camp because boss will be like, nope, you got to take care of the kids. But what I'll definitely do is you camp. I'll meet you at night. I'll fish throughout the night with you. I'll go home, take care of the kids. And then I come back first crack of dawn in the morning. I'll fish with you, crack a beer, and make sure you do your donkey kicks that you owe. All right.
Sure. See, but the weird thing is, man, I cannot catch fish at night. I do not know what it is.
All right. Well, we'll find it. See, that should be another goal this year. We're going to catch some good fish. We got to have a good night bite one of these years or this year. All right.
Yeah.
We'll do that. We'll do that. So, all right, man. Till next time.
All right. See ya. I think the best person, or not the best person, the best thing somebody, hold on, blah, blah, blah. Let me start over.
Hey, you better leave that in.
I'll put it in at the end.
All right. How are you going to leave that in? You can't put that at the end. Just leave it in, man. Leave it in. Leave this whole conversation in right now.